So how many of you are beach and ocean lovers? Oh my gosh, the whole room raises its hand nearly. What's that?
Too much sand.
Oh, okay. So as a spiritually attuned beings and as ocean lovers for many of us, not all of us, you may relate as I do that when I'm at the beach, I feel like it is the closest to the outer, the surrounding, the allness of God that I can be in. Like getting immersed in it, right? Getting in the water, or just being on its shore, or just being near. For me, for you, it might be mountains or somewhere else where you feel that kind of thing, but that is the experience for me. So, of course, the closest place on earth is right here within ourselves, right? But I mean that essence of God that is the allness of God that is everywhere present. It is that kind of closeness. And I did want to mention that Peter Weiler's taking some pictures today, and that's for our new website. So if you, as you're leaving, if you decide that, you know, if I'm in a photo, I don't want to be in a photo on the website, just let Mike or I know, and we'll be sure to get your information down and not have you featured. If he gets a really excellent shot of you, we might reach out to you and say, really? Can we include it? No. And all of you online, well, I guess you're off the hook in that regard, but thank you for being with us today. So back to the ocean and the God goddess and being in it or being close to it and being in that expression. It's whether or not you relate in that way or not, we can all relate to the idea that love itself is like an ocean. The way that love shows up, right? In its movement, in its rhythm, in the peace that it brings, or sometimes in the strength that it brings, the fierceness that it brings. Anybody ever get like knocked over by a wave? Yeah, when we first got here, Brenly's mom was always known to tell us, you know, she's always watching the news, to tell us things to look out for. So, of course, earthquakes, we heard about those before we came, and then we get here, and she says, now, we said, we're walking on the beach, she calls, and we're walking on the beach, and she says, oh, you got to be careful, there's sneaker waves. We're like, oh my gosh, you're making this up, we've never heard of this before. It's like, no, there really are. There's sneaker waves. This couple got hit by one, and you got to watch out. And Brenly says, okay, Mom, we're enjoying our new home. Don't get hit by an icicle. We got to go. So it's that, you know, it's the allness that has provided us, right? The laughter that has provided us. But also the depth of the ocean. You know, the ocean has that divine mystery kind of experience, right? Because often we are not, unless you're a diver, you're not often plumbing the depths of the ocean. And even so, even that can be so far to go. And so much of that sense that we can't always see, but we can still sense and feel, right? We can sense and feel that presence of love, that presence of the divine. We can't always tangibly see it. And so those depths of the love, the depths of love that come up for us and the depths of love that are part of that mystery. And of course, there is this sense of vastness. When you stand on the shore and you look out at the ocean and it just seems to go on and on and on in every direction and to the horizon, and we know beyond, right? So we can, you know, be in that place of vision, of casting our dreams, of seeing the bigger picture, of knowing that there is a sense of expansive possibility of all that we dream about, especially when we're there gazing on a sunset or a sunrise. There is that sense of hope and light and beauty that comes. So all of that is a part of it. You know, when we first got here, the first place I wanted to go was the ocean. I was like, what's the closest beach? So we took our goddaughter Grace and our dog Chaos to... That's really funny when I say it like that, but I hadn't put that together. You got to have it all, right? So you might as well bring Grace and Chaos wherever you go. We are abundant, affirming people after all. So anyway, we get to the beach, and this happens. I mean, we are all out cold. Like, there's not even a towel underneath me on that dirty beach. And it was, and I'm a light sleeper. So it was just, you know, and look at Grace, totally surrendered, right? We were resting, right, in a big way. And it is part of what happens on the beach is that kind of full surrender, right? I don't know if you've read Anne Morrow Lindbergh's book. It's an oldie, Gifts of the Sea. She wrote it in the 50s. But she explains what happens. She said that she would always pack her bag when she went to the beach, and it'd be all lumpy, full of books and notebooks, things she was going to write and intentions she had, stories and things that she was going to get prepared for. And then there that bag would lay. Well, she laid kind of like the picture, right? She says, at first, the tired body takes over completely. One falls under the spell, relaxes, stretches out prone. One becomes, in fact, like an element on which one lies, flattened by the sea. I should have brought my glasses. Laid bare and open, empty as the beach, erased by today's tides and all of yesterday's scribblings. So that is what happens. Brenly said she used to always bring books to the beach, and then I'd say, aren't you going to bring a book? And she'd say, no, because I always bring a book, and then I take a nap. So, divine love like an ocean. It's a place to surrender. One day I was standing on the shore, and I was looking out, and I just got kind of into this mesmerized meditation with the sea and I as one, and standing there, my feet were going deeper and deeper into the sand as the shore was coming up and the kelp was coming in and wrapping around me, and I just couldn't move. I was like a tree. And this poem captures that experience. I stand and I stand facing the sea, glistening foam parted only by the trunks of my being, rankling my ankles, rubber gold draping green. I stand, rooted in sand, facing the sea, and the sea washes over me. It's that feeling of just being christened over and over again, baptized over and over again, right? That experience, that is like love itself. The divine love that lives inside of us, the divine love that made us, that sourced us. It's that kind of constant rhythmic wave that is a part of our lives, that is available to us at all times, that, as Paul said, is the greatest gift of all. It's the greatest gift that we can give and receive. And this time of year, when we talk about gifts of giving and receiving, it's the gifts we give that are infused with love, and the gift of love itself that is the greatest of all, the gift that we give ourselves of love. And so all the ways that we can recognize as love itself is like this vastness, this depth, this tangible experience, this beauty, this place to surrender and give over to. That's love. That's our interaction with love. Mary becomes the human demonstration of surrendering to this vast ocean of love. I've said it many times. I feel like Advent is really Mary's story. And she becomes then the love itself. She shows us how. She gives over to Spirit's call. She surrenders to being Jesus' mother, even though she has a sense this is really big and doesn't know exactly what all that means. And she's this young woman who didn't expect all this all of a sudden, didn't expect her whole life to change in such a drastic way all of a sudden. And it could feel burdensome, but Mary knows how. She's practiced, spiritually practiced, at surrender, at giving over, at allowing, of receiving. And so she does that. She knows that this child will never really belong to her, that it will belong to the world. And so there is that immediate kind of surrendering too. You know, this baby comes into the world and you love it and you want to hold it close and you want to protect it and you want it to be yours and you want it to be safe. And, you know, all those things that come with fatherhood and motherhood. And yet you can't. Right? Doesn't belong to you. This baby belongs to the divine. This baby belongs to the world. And so it's that walk, right? Those of you who are parents maybe know what I'm talking about. And so it's all of that. When Jesus is only 12 years old, they go from Nazareth to Jerusalem. The family and the community all travels. They all gather for the Passover festival. And they're on their way home on this journey, and Mary suddenly looks around and goes, "Where's Jesus?" And Joseph says, "I don't know." I don't know if he said that really exactly like that, but they realize they don't have him, right? And so in the account from Luke, it goes like this. After 3 days of searching, they found him in the temple courts. Imagine what happened in those 3 days in their hearts and minds, right? 12-year-old boy missing. Sitting among teachers, he's there when they find him, and he's listening to the teachers, and he's asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his level of understanding and his answers and his questions. And his parents saw him, and they were astonished that this is where he was, just all relaxed and engaged in this conversation while they've been worried for 3 days. And Mary says, "Son, why have you treated us like this?" She said, "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And he says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?" And on the return to Nazareth, Mary ponders these things in her heart. What is it that my son gets? What is it that he is bringing? What is it? I imagine these, I'm making these up. What is she pondering, this depth of, and what will I have to do to pray for this kid, not really like a kid? He's already leaving home. I imagine she has these concerns. What will become of him? And as he gets out into his ministry at only 30 years old, he's immediately put on a pedestal for the miracles he performs, and at the same time condemned by the political and religious leaders of his day and the establishment of his day. Two things that could scare a parent, or anyone for that matter, right? And she has to surrender this child over and over and over again. She has to surrender her heart over and over again. Give over the love. Let it be shared with the world. Trust God. Have faith. Have hope. Have a sense he'll be okay. Whatever this is, it's something bigger than I could possibly ever understand. You ever have these kinds of moments with love in your life, with loved ones in your life? It's like that tearing open your heart, but you can't stop it because you love so big, because that divine love just keeps on flowing and flowing and flowing. Grief is the price we pay for love, and worth it a million times over. Aunt Ruth said that in A Boy Called Christmas. So here's Mary in the Pietà, right? That beautiful work of art where she's holding her slain son who has been violently taken and completely surrendered himself to God. And you can see almost the grief on her face and the fullness of her love and her openness as she holds him. She must know this truth that Aunt Ruth speaks. Grief is the price we pay for love. And we do it again and again and again a million times over because it's worth the heartbreak. When our heart breaks, it breaks open. That's the point of a heartbreak, that it breaks open. It's the point isn't the pain. That's a part of the process, but that's not the point. That's not God's intent. That's not the divine intent. The divine intent is, I want to be birthed through you. I want your heart to become the portal, the place through which people can feel me. And you have the opportunity, each of us, we are the children of God, the sons, the daughters, the children of God. Each of us are sourced from that extreme and immense place, like the ocean, and vaster and deeper and bigger. It's a love that we can't possibly fully understand with our human mind, but we can sense it, we can feel it, we can experience. And when we feel that experience of love, whether it's love of God through another, or love of God itself, or love of nature, or love of self, it doesn't matter what the mirror is that we are experiencing the love with, That's all just a part of giving us the processes, right? The means through which we can love. But it's the power of that love that is at once gentle and strong, that can be fierce. That's what life is about, isn't it? The greatest of these, when Paul said that, I feel like, yes, yes, yes. There are so many divine qualities that are so wonderful, the ones that we've been walking through in this Advent season, faith and peace and next week joy and all the 12 powers that we speak of that are part of our being. All of it is so important. Yet when we come down to it, when any of us are asked, describe God in one word, I bet most of us would say, love. And so how well are you loving? How fully are you giving yourself over to love? Kate Wolfe sang, give yourself to love if love is what you're after. It used to be my theme song when I wanted a partner. I would sing it over and over again. I had a friend who was also looking for a partner, and he and I would sing it out loud, really loud, and it worked. And it's so much more, right, than the wanting of a partner or the wanting of a child or the wanting of a friend. It's that, and the wanting and the desire is all a part of the human experience of bringing in the love, of attracting the love, of allowing the love. It's all a part of that dance. But it's the potency of the divine love itself, the source from which it comes. And that's here in every one of us, regardless of our outer social experiences and mirrors of love in our lives, which all of that is a rich and important part of our human divine walk. But to remember again and again that the source is here, to go back again and again to the source so that we don't forget ourselves and keep looking at it out here, what he or she or they are doing or not doing for me, not loving me well enough or the right way or giving as much as I'm giving. And then we just find ourselves going, oh my gosh, let me just stop and let all that I just wrote be written in sand and taken away by the wave of love. Let my judgments be swept away by the wave, the ocean wave of divine love. Let my pettiness be swept away by that. Let my belittling of myself and of others and thinking small and limiting and constricting, let all of that be washed away and let me stand like I am on the seashore or in the ocean itself of love. And I remember, oh my God, God is the ocean and I am a wave of this ocean. I come from this place. I'm made of this love. I am meant to flow. I am meant to move about the earth in the wave of love. And oh, how much more fulfilling our lives are when we give over in such a way. Yeah, there will be grief. And yet, grief is the price we pay for love a million times over. So we give it, right? It's right here, and we receive it here. Your love is free. Your love is deep. Your love is vast. It wells up from the deep places within ourselves. Again, it's that just like the ocean, it's like something I can sense it, I can feel it. I can't always see it. I can't always explain it or put words on it, but I can, there's that kind of wave of love that comes through us every so often, or just a subtle kind of arising of love, or just when we rest a bit in meditation together, there in the midst of the peace, there is a sense of love. Love is here. Love is loving me. Love is loving through me. Love is ultimately loving as me. It's that true and genuine feeling that arises in us when we have regard for someone else, when we have that kind of adoration or feeling or admiration. All of that is a part of this process happening through us, that the divine is knocking on the door of our hearts from within saying, let me out. And when we just even open up a little bit, the flood, like the ocean, comes through, if we're willing. if we're willing, because we're all able. It's natural. It's who we are. It's who we've come here to be, really, lovers of the divine and the essence of that love. God's love from deep within me ever satisfies my soul. That song, that line from that song could not be truer, right? Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. It just, it satisfies our souls over and over again, that deep, deep love that we tap. And the vastness of love, that endless sea, is an endless sea of all the different cousins of love, if you will, kindness and forgiveness and compassion and empathy and affection and encouragement and support, and on it goes, right? They're all related to love. They flow with love through us. Once we tap this love, it's not so just personal, right? We maybe growing up, we have that. We love our family. We love, you know, then we love our friends and so on, and so on. It expands. Eventually, we have our own family and our close circle of friends. And that is a great place to practice. That's the place where we master love, is in our practice every day with our everyday loved ones and our teachers who push our buttons, right? Sometimes one in the same. Often, in fact, I would say one in the same, right? That's part of the deal. That's part of the human relationship process, that it helps us to be better at loving, masters of love. Some will say, I love humanity. It's humans that I have a hard time loving. And yet, of course, that's our work. That is our spiritual work. So who do you say you love? How well are you loving those you say you love? Ask yourself that. And then see, what can I do to love better? To be more of this essence? Because, you know, you get all the benefits. This isn't just about giving it away. Love has to move through you in order to be felt by another. That means you get all that first wave of love, and then you give it over. You extend it out to the shores, to others, to other bodies, to other beings, to other hearts, to other minds. Loving is a spiritual practice. It can take risks. It can be risk-taking. It can involve vulnerability. It's a constant process of honing our communication skills when we are in the dance of love, whatever the form may be. It's expanding our capacity always, if we're growing with it, if we're allowing it, to be better at empathizing, to grow our compassion, our ability to forgive, our ability to be generous. We become more generous givers of our finances, of our service, of our love, and our prosperity in every way, because love prospers us, love heals us. All of that happens as we step in and say yes, and open up and let it flow. Stop gripping so hard, right? Clinging, and just let it be, let it flow. Then we can experience it. As it erases boundaries and old limitations, it taps greater visions for us and heightens our sensitivity to the impact that we have in the world. Love is so expansive that it can help us as we love all, or it can help us love all more fully when we love each more deeply. There's an old story that really brings that idea home that you maybe have heard before, or some version of it. There's a man walking on the seashore with his grandchild, and they're walking right along where the water comes in, just a little ways in, and there was a storm the day before, so there are thousands and thousands of sand dollars. And every few feet or so, the grandfather kneels down and picks up a sand dollar. Actually, I have some sand dollars. And he puts it gently back into the sea. And he keeps doing this. And the grandchild then gets very curious and says, Grandfather, what are you doing? And he says, I'm helping this sand dollar. You see, the sand dollar is, actually, let me just pass this around, and if you want to touch one or you want to keep one, just feel free. So he reaches down and he picks one up and he puts it in the sea, and the boy or the child is saying, what are you doing? And he says, well, they're living organisms. And if they are left out here on the beach, they're going to dry up and die. And the kid looks like down the shore and sees these thousands and thousands and goes, but Grandpa, there's so many of them. How are you ever going to make a difference? And he says, it makes a difference to this one. Some say the sand dollar actually has significant Christmas symbols on it. So as you're looking at these, as they're being passed around after Carol finishes contemplating which one she wants, you'll see that on one side, there's a poinsettia flower, which represents the spirit of community and also goodwill. And on the other side is the Star of Bethlehem. So enjoy that. Here's another one. You can go that way with it. Your love is free like the ocean. To give or to withhold it, to be stingy or generous, it's always a choice. That's the part that is the practice, right? To make the choice of how we will allow love to move through us, how we will allow love to be given or withheld. Who are you withholding love from these days? And who are you giving to it freely? So if you can let yourself both be praised within yourself, if you will, because whatever we praise increases, right? So the ways that you know that you are loving well, to praise and increase and multiply the blessing of that. And also to recognize, where am I holding back? Where am I being a little bit too close with my love, that I'm not sharing it enough? And how could I open up that channel? How could I be more loving there? Where am I withholding maybe from certain person or certain people, certain groups of people perhaps, or whatever that is? See if you can open up that door. Because when we give freely, we receive freely. When we give without strings, without conditions, without all of that that the divine love never has, then the limitations, the other pieces, the pain even, can be turned over. Can be turned over to the peace and the joy that is available to us. Love heals by nature. So let's just give over to it. Let's just surrender. Let's stop trying to hold on, to control, to spare ourselves of difficult feelings. And instead just surrender to it, give over to it, let it go. Just like we talked about last night, last week, the little creatures in the sea or in the river that let go. You know, as we let go, we experience love unhindered. We stop hindering our own experience of love. Let ourselves be engulfed by it, and then we become it. We are the very essence of love and can be that for others, reaching the shores of others. So giving and receiving love like waves of the ocean, that's what we're up to. It will be gentle and strong sometimes. It will be fierce, peaceful, joyful, all those things. As Christmas draws nearer, the angels whisper in your ear, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to be big with your love, to let that big love be known through you and expressed through you. Take risks. Let divine love in fully and completely, and let it out freely and abundantly. Let's affirm this together. I give and receive love like an ocean. So it is.